we should probably introduce again. Go ahead and do that. I'll start. I'm Rick, product designer at Fun Size.
I'm Natalie, partner and product designer at Fun Size.
I'm Fee, product designer at Fun Size.
Anthony, partner and experience director.
Cool. So today we were going to talk about design. I wanted to just maybe touch on some stuff that's been going around, though, before we get into that segment. Seen a lot of iPhone 6, like, 3D renders. There's a lot of weird stuff. People are... Do you think they're, like, making money off of, like, the videos that they make of these? Like, is it just purely, like...
I say marketing. Yeah. Like, trying to get their name out there to get shock value from people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that one that had, like, the three screens. It's just, like, there's this one that was just, like, a device. And then it had three screens because there's one screen on it. And then it shot, like, a laser, like, projection on either side. And you could, like, swipe the screen.
Were there cats on there, too?
Cats?
Cats and lasers go together.
Oh, laser cats.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I feel like that will cost so much money to produce.
Yeah. And plus, you have to have it laying on something for it to actually have, like, something to project on.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll work.
It's wild enough to have one project, but have two projectors on a phone.
But hey, if you got one, why not?
Why not three?
Two? Just add it to the website.
Why not three? Do you guys, I mean, it has to be a larger screen, right? Don't you think? Like,
says the rumors. 3X is the new.
I feel like the rumors are usually true, though, probably about 90% of the time.
I mean, even if they didn't want to create one, they're being pressured by the rest of the market to create something that is going to compete with the Samsung, with the larger devices.
The Samsung
Note.
What I'm curious to know about the new design is that it looks like it's a thinner version of the first gen. The first gen iPhone.
Yeah, it does. Like the way it's like rounded bevel on the back.
And a silver bevel.
Do you think they tested out the iPad Air design to apply that back to iPhone somewhere? Or, I mean, is that what you're talking about? The sort of beveled aluminum edges?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels like the first iPhone just flatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully thinner. Because that's pretty.
Well, for you iPhone users, like, how do you feel about a longer screen versus a wider screen? To me, like, the only reason one of the main reasons why I switched to Android is that just the readability and the size of the typography I get on a wider screen is a little bit bigger for my terrible eyesight. But how do you guys feel about longer versus wider?
I mean, at this point, I think wider would make more sense.
I don't think they could go any longer, man. Like, it's already, like, if you turn it sideways and wide, like, ultra wide screen, you know? Like, it would be, like...
Remember that parody video that someone did on YouTube where it was, like, this giant iPhone?
Yeah, it was like 4 feet tall or something.
Is it the one that you can run on? You put on the floor and you
run. Oh, yeah.
No.
That was
I remember that one, but this one was, like, a...
Oh.
Yeah, the guy put it in his pocket and he couldn't bend his leg when he ran because it was, like...
He's a cannonball.
but I mean, think about one thing I've been thinking about with the iPhone 6, they have to make a wider screen. It's just like no way around it. They can't go taller. They have to be, you know, stay relevant and compete with like these giant Android screens that you're seeing coming out. Dude, think of like, what are they going to do with all the current apps? Because like Android was built with sort of like a liquid type thing, so it could accommodate multiple screen widths. But iPhone has always only been like assets for like the 320 width, you know, the 640 width. So what's going to happen to all these apps that are out there now? Like, will they have to be retrofitted to the iPhone 6, or will they just do the whole like black borders on the side? I mean, they probably will. That's lame.
I have no idea.
They box themselves in pretty bad on that one. Mm-hmm. The screen went. I don't know what they're gonna do. Anyway, that's one thing I've been wondering about. Speaking of Android screens, a new development with Android was that did they just now get Spotify, or have they had it?
No, Spotify's always been on the Android, but it's always kind of been kind of me.
Oh,
but this new design. that they rolled out is one of the most beautiful apps I've ever seen, not just on Android, but ever.
Really?
I mean, it in my opinion, it blows RDO out of the water, and it blows its iPhone companion out of the water. But if you actually look at Spotify's iOS products and their Android products, there you can tell that the amount of money invested was equal across each platform. And actually, there's really no difference all that much in the way the product looks or acts. Or the quality value is equal.
Well, I would say that I really dislike the Spotify desktop app, but I saw a preview somewhere of like this new desktop app they were going to put out, and it looked awesome. It's out.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's really really sleek.
That's it. Yep.
I mean, they kind of went I guess it makes sense. You know, RDO owns the sort of Stark White, and I think they're trying to own the Stark.
Dark
without it looking like a developer made it, which is what the first version was.
Yeah,
I'm really happy with that. I mean, not sure about switching back to Spotify, but I love looking at it.
Yeah.
How much do you think like the design factors into a user making the choice between RDO and Spotify? Are they like...
I don't know. I think it's content, honestly. Yeah. Spotify does a really good job of organizing things by mood. And just like set playlists that are curated by the people at Spotify. I've never ventured off into RDO, like if they have anything that's curated by the actual people who make it. But I think Spotify kind of just reigns right now with all that, like just curation of music and playlists.
Rabbit hole kind of thing.
Just got like music discovery.
I mean, just to kind of play devil's advocate to that. I'm pretty, like, for me, the kind of music that I want to listen to, there's more of it on Spotify, especially, like, the late 90s or
indie
stuff.
That's the thing, man. Yeah. It drives me crazy.
But I chose RDO because of the user experience.
Right? Yeah.
RDO on the iPhone, for me, is kind of frustrating because I don't think that it wasn't designed for someone that was mobile, right? Because, like, I'm on my phone, I'm at a stop sign, and I want to play a playlist, I have to tap at least 4 or 5 times to get to where
I'm
going.
They could definitely reduce the amount of taps.
And the text is tiny. I can barely read it.
And the buttons are tiny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They should seriously consider doing what Umano does and have a specific driving mode.
Yeah.
Where the rest of the UI just gets out of the way and the buttons get 2 or 3 times large.
Oh, I agree. I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does integrate with the native OS, the lock screen.
Yeah.
Like, if you have audio playing and you lock your screen, there'd be like a play, rewind, fast forward button.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not really a driving, like, browsing mode. Nor could there probably be. Unless, the only thing they do is like a voice control thing. That would be the ultimate safe thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is like a voice control thing. Anybody been playing this app, Dexterous?
Oh my goodness. I have.
Yeah.
Supposedly it's like the Flappy Bird killer, so I've heard, but I've been playing that for the past week, and...
It is so frustrating,
yeah.
Man. Like, it looks great, though. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's where Flappy Bird was simple, it looks... I mean, it's simple, too. It's just sort of, like, glowy, and...
Yeah, it's like Tron.
Yes.
Flappy Bird.
And the app icon is, like, a freaking, like... blue and purple skull. Like,
yeah.
That's amazing.
It's badass.
Yeah.
So
it's awesome.
Isn't it crazy how some of the most addictive games are the simplest?
Yes.
And they're typically, like, the most addicting games are the distance games, right? Those tend to be the most popular. Like, things like Temple Run, Flappy Bird,
Dots. How many dots?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those tend to be,
dots.
Yeah.
I don't ever play it anymore, but I still love Dots. we'll kind of shift now and go into talking about the main thing, which is just simply design. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot to it, you know. We're talking about maybe just discussing, like, having an episode where we just talked about, like, design tips and tricks and stuff, you know. And that's cool, and I think that's useful to people, but... Also, like, something that's maybe a little bit more meaningful is just, like, that moment when you get, you know, past whatever barrier and you just have, like, this time to design and you're just, like, in the middle of it and you're just, like, experiencing it. And I don't know. It's, you know, people call it flow. Apparently, it's like a whole like psychology thing. Mm-hmm. His flow is, you know, that's pretty cool. So I thought we'd sort of talk about a mix of things related to design and now talk about getting in a flow and inspiration, and then we'll talk about, you know, some specific tips and tricks and stuff that we like to use, and then like exploring like other environments in which you design. Maybe that's the geographic location that you're at, and maybe it's the software you're designing with or something. Mm-hmm. Or even the medium that you're doing. And then I also wanted to ask you guys about organization, because sometimes like organization sort of leads what I do, like when I'm designing through my Photoshop files, organize and stuff, and then sometimes I just sort of like forget it and just like design and then organize later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's get into it. We'll just start with the whole flow thing. So flow is like this moment you get into, like when you are suddenly like in it and like it's like great, time doesn't seem to matter, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're just like in the zone. Do you guys, I mean, certainly everybody's been there. In fact, the thing that inspired me to talk about this was that Natalie actually said something on Twitter like last week or the week before about you were working late and you didn't, you know, we don't like to, you know, promote the lifestyle where you work late all the time and you know, you burn the midnight oil and stuff like that. But there was some reason you had to do it, and you described, I'm trying to remember what you were working on. I think slides or something. Oh, slides for Anthony with Anthony and his presentation. But I was just like, yeah, I haven't like gotten into that, you know, for a while. So I thought it'd be cool to explore and talk about that.
That's the craziest thing about us, and the people that aren't designers probably don't know how hard it is to come to work every day expected to just generate creative ideas.
Just be creative.
And you know, maybe that's why Fun Size is working out well, because we have kind of a flexible work situation, because I think we all know that we may not be creative that day, and maybe we just need to go home or go get a beer instead and come back later, you know, or a planning for, you know, because that you might get into that flow at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. You don't want to stop, like, well, you know, when you're finally in the zone, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that, you know, so it's kind of hard because, you know, we're not like bankers. We don't go to work 8 to 5. We do our paperwork and that's it. Like, we have to kind of, our lives are all structured around trying to be creative, and it's mm-hmm. kind of hard.
Because it's like you can't really actually manufacture flow. Like, if it's not there, you can't just, like, make it. You can't just be, like, flip a switch and you're there, you know?
Because then you're compromising what you're working on. Like, you're just kind of forcing it rather than just kind of letting it happen.
Right.
Yeah.
This side is sort of, like, just... This probably came from somewhere else, but I remember a quote from Mad Men where Don Draper was talking to Peggy early in the series about...
Peggy.
About this... She couldn't crack, like, this idea. She's like, I can't, you know, it's there, I just can't find it or whatever. And I think what he said was something along the lines of, think about it deeply. Contemplate it. And then forget it. And then that's when an idea comes to you, is when you sort of, like, you submerge yourself in what you're working on. You think about it, like, you let it sort of, like, totally fill your head. And then he's, like, taking out, you know, like, forget it, and then things sort of just like naturally come back in your line. It's cool.
I don't know if this has happened to you guys, but have you ever like dreamed of a design solution and
yes.
you wake up and you're like, light bulb, gotta do it.
You told me about that happening to you one time. And,
yeah, I think it was Groupon that I was working with.
I think maybe it happened then too, but it was a Windows product that we were working on. You're talking about boards, and I was going to put it on a design on some boards, and you're like, you know what? I got this. I had a dream last night. I was like, cool.
It doesn't happen often, but it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's happened to me one time. I have a lot of dreams where I'm trying to solve the real project that I'm working on, but I wake up and realize it's fake. And I've had one dream where I actually woke up with a relatively complex solution for a very complex, like, wireframing problem.
That's awesome.
Really weird, but... All the other times has been like working on fake projects while I'm sleeping, and then you wake up and you feel like you already worked 8 hours.
No, that's supposed to be
I have a question. I might know the answer to this, but it might be different for all you guys, but how hard or easy is it to get in flow in the flow in an open work environment like we have at FunSize versus actually, the way it used to be when we all worked at home with no distraction?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I mean, I think before, I kind of had a hard time trying to get into the flow because just trying to get ideas and bouncing ideas off of people was, it was tough. I mean, we were just all, you know, kind of enclosed and kind of separated from each other. And,
right.
You know, the only way we can really talk was through chat, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that helped a little bit, but at the same time, like, you know, getting that energy just really helped a lot, you know, to really kind of get into the flow.
Right.
But then there's times too, like especially working on conceptual things, I kind of want to be by myself sometimes to kind of get my thought out and get my ideas out sometimes, you know.
Without someone like prematurely looking at your screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't look at anyone's screen.
Or through Dropbox.
And I have a particularly hard time getting into flow, at least in a workspace. The workspace is awesome and like there's so much positive energy. But since I'm working on every project,
everything.
Like I struggle to find 5 or 10 minutes to focus on any one thing. So I kind of feel like I need to work on figuring out how to create an environment where I can achieve this flow.
You know, lately, then. I mean, that's got to be really hard for you because there's 10 people here and everybody's like needs your attention about like an issue or a question or something.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, even like if you are like secluded in your home office or something like that, you still have like a million distractions with what's on your screen, what's popping up on your screen, what's coming, you know, into your phone or something like that. Like we went to Chicago recently and, I just went into my settings and I was like, man, I'm going to just go dark for a few days. And I turned off like all my notifications and all that. And I'm just like, holy crap. Like there's so many interruptions I have that I do not need. I realize like I usually, when I said you ever install like a new app and it's like, can we send you notifications? Like I would just be like, yeah, sure. I don't care. You know, whatever. But now I'm like default. No. Like, why does Foursquare need to tell me that my friend likes a hamburger?
I don't know the exact math, but you know, I read articles here and there that talk about how like, even a simple 1 minute or a few minute distraction can cause you to take 15 to 30 minutes to get back to
readjust, right? Yeah. And the other thing I really love, I mean, I have it going on right now on my computer, actually. I only have my computer in here just because we're recording on it, but dude, you can do Do Not Disturb mode on your iPhone, but you can actually do that on your desktop as well, which is great. It's kind of scary to think like you might miss something, but each day it automatically resets and goes back.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Disturb mode, but
yeah, I should use that more often.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
What about inspiration? Like you're getting ready to go into like a conceptual design phase, you know, and you want to like do some research and stuff. Like, what do you use to like get inspired, like visually, or just you know, altogether? Do you?
I like looking at magazines to get ideas for aesthetics for digital products.
That's cool.
Me too.
Like, but I mean, are they like digital design magazines?
No, like you know, just magazines like you know, Wired or you know, New York Business Week or something like that. Like,
yeah,
because you look at a little like corner of an article or something, and you see like the intersection of an image and text, and it kind of gives me like a. It's almost like looking at little like pages of mood boards in a way.
You feel like it is a like paradigm like mind shift, just putting your eyes and mind like into like another medium like print and sort of like helps makes the other medium digital like more approachable maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do the same thing with magazines too. Esquire, GQ, like they tend to have really great design. That's a huge inspiration for me.
Good
idea. And like layout works anywhere, especially in our industry, right? And so I mean with editorial. Like,
composition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And how things are laid out and how text is shown and things like that. Or how it's treated. Just
positive space, negative space. Just design principles.
Yep.
I think it's a little too easy to look at other products and think within those boxes. And But it also kind of like, I miss like making mood, like collages. Like actually cutting things out of magazines and making a mood board and those kind of things that maybe you did when you were a kid or in art school or whatever.
Mm.
But, yeah, that's interesting. We should get some more. We should get more magazines.
Actually, yeah, we should. We should subscribe to like a couple. Or something.
Yeah.
Can we get into highlights?
Life magazine.
What? Where do you guys look for inspiration, Rick and Alan?
I don't get my face out of the computer often enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to say that I get inspired by, you know, walking on the beach or something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't. I sit in front of my computer and I usually like look at what other people are doing, look at pattern libraries, look at cool websites,
mm-hmm.
and then I step away, you know, to see kind of like and go cook or bake or whatever and see kind of what sticks, and then come back to the computer and be like, okay, this is my vision of what I want to create.
Awesome.
So on that note, like when you guys are creating original ideas, do you just kind of freeform it and like just see what you come up with, or do you write like? Do you write a little miniature bulleted list of the goals you want to accomplish? Like, how much do you plan for the concept that you're trying to create, or versus just let it happen?
I did that a little bit later, personally. Like, I try and find like an emotion or something, and then like gain traction with it. Like when I'm actually designing in Photoshop or whatever, like if I that you know have an element, I'm like, yeah, I like how that looks. I'll sort of go with that,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll start to consider like. What does this thing need? Does this thing need, like, a little, like, badge? Does this need, like, thing like that? And then I'll start writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to try and gain a little traction on the aesthetic first. Yeah. Can you... Now, I'll skip that. We kind of already talked about, like, getting in the zone and, like, where you would be. But
mm-hmm.
What about actually being InDesign? I mean, I know there's a lot of different platforms out there, or... Not platforms, but, you know,
different tools.
Design applications, right? And we could talk about Sketch a little bit, because we've all kind of tried it recently. But when you're specifically in Photoshop, since that's what we mostly use, are there any, like, specific, like, okay, here, let me put it this way. What is the number one keyboard shortcut, or, like, the top five, or something like that? What do you guys...
Apple S.
That should be everyone.
That is definitely not used as much as I should.
I'll just go ahead and say it. I know maybe three. I just don't use Photoshop shortcuts.
You use the mouse to like go to the menu.
Yep. I'm just old school like that. I don't know why. And it's not just Photoshop. I just have never taught myself to learn many keyboard shortcuts for anything.
Yeah.
Anthony will still, instead of shift entering to commit a text layer, he will go and use his mouse to go all the way to the top right corner and click on the commit button.
Awesome.
That's and I use the file menu and everything. Like,
wow.
Yeah, so I don't have much to add to this, but I'm interested in hearing what you guys
think. Just a really heavy keyboard user in general. Like, man, even like for file, like navigating my computer, I use Alfred app, you know, to like go directly.
Wow.
I just start typing when I want a file.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I use the mouse as little as possible unless I'm like designing like something whole square like that.
When I watched you give that demo the other day, there was like a simple key command that you had for aligning thing on the X Y coordinates, and I can't tell you how many times I spend like zooming in and moving a key line all the way. I'm like, is that right on the edge?
Yes. No. I mean, that's sort of new, and I used to spend a lot of time there too. Yeah,
that one probably would.
You might have to show me that.
I would imagine it with the amount of time you guys spend in Photoshop. That one command right there would probably save hours off of you know in a year.
So I think you might be talking about actually a new palette that I think is in Photoshop Creative Cloud is the properties palette, and like it automatically sets the point of origin. You know how you can have it at the top left, top middle, top right, all the way around, like nine points of origin.
Mm-hmm.
It automatically assumes that the point of origin is the top left, which is what I always set it at anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think like linearly, like how you read top to bottom, left to right. It automatically assumes it's right there, so you can just say you know x0 y0. Just type in like the increment.
Wow,
that's interesting.
So fast.
The next time I'm working in a mobile app project, I'm going to try setting the top coordinate to right at the bottom of the status bar. That way I can get my app bar like right at the top.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow, that's a good call.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's interesting. Man, I use shift nudge a lot. You guys ever do that to like get that tint?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just pushing like an arrow, if you have an object selected, will move something over like a pixel or whatever the increment is. But if you hold shift, it'll go over 10 pixels. So
yeah.
Like you can get you know, move something 40 pixels like you wanted before, instead of, you know, moving it or even like typing in like the coordinates.
Is there a way to move it, nudge it at any other like
increment,
like say 100 pixels at
you
a
know,
time?
I think you, I was telling somebody that you could do that the other day. You set the nudge to a certain increment. If you do shift nudge, and that's all right. And I think they took it out of the newest version of Photoshop. I don't think you can change that anymore. Like, it used to be like...
I remember seeing a preference for that too.
Defaulted at 10, but now like you can't even change it, which is not super cool. Okay, here's another question, design related, like specifically getting away from like aesthetics and stuff like that, and more focused on like the way you actually work. What do you guys have like some favorite like go to resources that you use? You know, like I mean, there's markets out there and stuff. You know, I mean, like for instance, I think we all probably use Tehan Wax, their GUI implementation for iOS files when you're getting started on like a new app. You know, you've got like that basic framework in there. Do you guys use anything like that? Well, I know you guys use that.
Yeah, use that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
is there anything?
The thing about the Tehan Wax stuff is that I think it like used to be really useful, but now the limits have been pushed so far with mobile that all the stuff that they have are native.
Yeah, it's right. No, that's what I mean. It's totally like, if you need like a list or something, then you want to modify it. Do you start by, you know, nothing on your canvas, or do you start with like grabbing some assets from there and then like moving on from there? I mean, that's how I usually do it. I did recently kind of start my own iOS like start file because I had like certain things that I'm always using.
I tend to go on patterns. I tend to see like how other people are treating like lists, and
it's a form. Website, right? Like it's like PRT, like no vowels or something.
Yeah, PTTRNS. And they have retina size screens, so I kind of like go in and measure, like see how other people are measuring things and things like that.
You guys look at UX Archive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another one too.
You know what I did when I first started getting into mobile, because I was really like embarrassed that I was like making an assumption that was like an obvious thing that like mobile designers never do. I would just like whatever was like I thought was like the biggest like mobile app, like I would go on Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare, and I would just screenshot, and then I would pull those into Photoshop and measure like how far do they let their drop shadows go down, you know, how far are they like how tall are their horizontal rules,
what's their minimum type size.
Yeah, exactly. Like sometimes I'll see something like that's pretty small, but actually it kind of works. So yeah,
that seems like a really good way to train people that haven't really taken their Photoshop skill to mobile, right? Where everything's retina and like you're always confused, like do I use a 1 pixel stroke or 2 pixel stroke, and what does a drop shadow need to be to look right on a retina screen? That happens all the time. Yeah. Even like it's been a while since I've designed anything, and I kind of struggled getting back into that, like trying to all the things that I used to know, the little tips and tricks I knew.
Something's changed too. Like when I first started designing for the retina, to get a 1 pixel stroke, you'd have to use a 2 pixel stroke.
Yeah.
But things have changed to where like you can use a 1 pixel stroke for retina and it'll look great.
Yeah. Now it's like a little bit. I think it's just like more people have retina screens now. It's a bit more widely acceptable. And it looks better, you know, like to actually see what is 1 pixel on this dense screen look like.
So I mean, I know it seems so basic, but. I mean, I think if you're designing for mobile and you're a huge advocate of this, you really need to be looking at everything you're designing on your device while you're designing.
That's it. Yeah. So
I mean, you could waste a lot of time and money by trying to finish your design and then looking at it versus looking at the first screen first, right?
Yeah. So we use Scala a lot. Me and Fidu, and I think you use it too.
Yeah, it was cool because for Sketch, they have this thing called Sketch Mirror. So when I was doing wireframes, I can actually see it on the iPad, like you know.
Yeah,
you can actually kind of
to scale.
Oh yeah, and then there's like a gesture, right? Like
you swipe up and down, left and right.
And what does that do?
Swiping up and down gets you to the different canvas, and then left and right gets you to the different artboards on that canvas.
So that's the cool thing about. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff about Sketch, but one of the things that always drew me crazy about Photoshop is that you only have one canvas at a time. Like one PSD will only be one canvas, and Sketch has as many as you want, basically, right?
It's really awesome to be able to look at your mock-ups in a series so that you can make a decision on one screen, see how that affects the screen before and after. And you know, I really honestly never believed that anything could really give Photoshop a run for its money, but after seeing Sketch, if there's one product that I think could, it would be that. I mean,
it's definitely the top contender, I think.
Especially, well, for most cases, UI design.
Exactly. I mean, that's a thing. That is actually the thing that Photoshop has going against it, is that Photoshop is an industry standard for web designers, for mobile designers, for photographers, for all sorts of different things, you know, like photo manipulation, stuff like that. So it's like this one tool that's supposed to be perfect for
the jack of all trades.
Right. Here's like Sketch is a little bit more focused on like interfaces and stuff. And I think that, like, screen design, basically.
And I haven't like fully discovered it, but, you know, apparently there's ways to take your design, your UI design, straight from Sketch right into Xcode.
Right.
All kinds of style getting tools you can kind of see that are on the way, and a lot of the things that we do that take a lot of time, Sketch does pretty easily. I mean, just in wireframing, Natalie and I have been using it for wireframing, not visual design, but the really interesting thing is that 4 people now at FunSize have used it for wireframing. 2 of those 4 people have never created a wireframe in their life.
Yeah.
And the quality of the result looks like a pro did it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I was really impressed with just the refinement. We used to use Keynote, but we created all of our own UI libraries for that. I'm pretty much done with Keynote after seeing that.
Wow. That's crazy.
But what do you think Sketch would do if Adobe approached them and said, "We'll give you $20 million for that," and then shut it down?
Just to shut it down, not to actually
I mean, do you think that we all know Photoshop is likely to be around?
Yeah.
Like, the big question I have with some of these smaller disruptive tools is, if I take the time to learn them, will they be around 2 years from now?
You know, that's a very interesting point. But actually, I kind of probably get some people might not agree with me on this, but I kind of do wish Sketch would just stop. And the reason is because I feel like they've already gone a little too far in the wrong direction. And that is like with file compatibility and stuff like that. Like, when we first started trying to use Sketch, do you remember, Natalie, we were working with Groupon, and there was a designer there that had some awesome stuff, and he wanted us to collaborate on Sketch files, but like, we couldn't translate those into PSDs. So, like, in order to recreate something in PSDs, which the developers wanted or something like that, like, we would have been, like, there's no, like, export as PSD. Like, there's no interchangeability at all, and that is really frustrating. Like, Adobe has tons of, however many years, like, 30 years? I don't know.
The one thing that confuses me about Sketch, too, is a folder structure that's affiliated with just one file. Like, PSD, you open it, you have everything. But with Sketch, folder, it's like, if you look behind it, it's like there's a weird system behind it.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like I feel like there's a spirit of innovation. Like, everybody has realized that Photoshop is not, like, the end-all, be-all, and we should have some tool that's specifically for screen design, basically.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe Sketch will just, like, be way better and get it, but I just wish it was something better. Like, there's just not, like, it's not, to me, it's not a Photoshop killer yet. It's on its way, but I'm personally not ready to switch over.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't see why Adobe couldn't take, you know, because a lot of things that Sketch is doing is borrowing from Adobe products, like the concepts of canvases and things like that. Like Adobe products have all of this, right? Yeah. All they need to do is build something for...
They were right there with Fireworks, man, and then they just killed it. Dang it. I mean, I didn't actually really like Fireworks, but I liked that they were, like, you know, right there.
I was getting there. Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting there. So I think one thing to mention would be pretty cool to sort of discuss a little bit is just, like, using, changing, like, your mindset, like, stepping out of Photoshop just because, do something different and see, like, what you come up with. I thought it was cool that you, I kind of suggested that we both do it, but then I never did it. Sorry. We were both starting to work on a new project, me and Fee, and I said, we should do this in sketch, and then I got really distracted. But Fee did it, and how did you feel about that?
It was interesting. The workflow for me was just a little jarring because, I mean,
yeah.
It was like, I'm jumping into this without even researching, like, the hotkeys or anything. I just really wanted to see what sketch was all about.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it was just the workflow. Like, I'm just so used to the hotkeys and things like that. And it's just, I can literally just dream in Photoshop. Like, I can probably create something.
Right,
like,
right.
Just understanding where everything is. And with sketch, just jumping into that and just kind of figuring out, like, where things are. And then, you know, that whole menu slide for like certain properties and things like that. I just thought that was just a little bit too much.
Right.
Rather than you kind of Photoshop having everything just kind of laid out and just it's a click away. There doesn't need to be animations to get to the next to get to the next tool.
No.
You know, we did that concept thing and it just took twice as long for me. But
I mean, the first one would
naturally,
yeah. But.
Yeah, I would. I mean,
did you feel like it had like some things that you were happy that it had, and you're like, well, man, this is in some ways better than Photoshop. Or
the artboard thing is just awesome, man. Like, I used to be in InDesign all the time, and it just felt natural to kind of make that and just copy like elements to.
So can you make like one object, like a header, like say make a website or I don't know, an app, you know?
Yeah.
You make like a header and like have that header be like one element that changes within that header and then put it on all the pages. So if you change the one header, it will update everywhere, you know?
I mean, I haven't gotten that far, but I mean, from what I've seen and from all the sketch files that I've looked through, like people post on Dribbble, I mean, you're able to do that. It kind of works like smart objects. If you change it on one, it should change on the other one.
So let me ask you guys a question. Because I'm not in design as much as you guys are, and I realize that learning a new tool like that could potentially take twice as long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also realize that the work that we do in Photoshop is just a suggestion for a developer unless we get it into code.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, would you rather like be able to do it really quick and give an engineer something that says, like, here's what it could look like? Or would you rather take twice as long to use a tool where you could actually control what the finished product looked like?
I mean, I just feel like there's a whole like thing in web design where it's like design in browser. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's basically like somebody who's good at like front-end development would just skip the whole Photoshop phase, go straight
into coding
it, and when they're done designing it, they're done developing it at the same time. So it's way, way faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a podcast one time by a company, I think they're in Tennessee, 47 Media. This guy Jonathan said this thing that I always identify. I've always remembered that about like designing in browser, or like this would be like the mobile design equivalent of designing in browser if we like learn Xcode and basically like put it together. What he said is like, if you skip Photoshop, like the designs that I've done, they sort of like don't have a soul as much, you know. Like in Photoshop, you have time to not think about the other parts of it. And you're just thinking about how it looks and the personality.
Right.
And I always, like, thought about that. Like, I mean, that maybe that's not even what you're suggesting.
Well, I mean, I totally get that. But, I mean, think about the things that some of these tools automate. Like, for example, Sketch, like, a click of one button, and all of a sudden you have all your assets ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, done. Right? Without, like, manually creating them. And, I mean, just think about, like, all the amount of time that goes into just prepping your final work for, you know, handoff.
I do definitely think that there's a missing step between like a design being complete and then it getting implemented by a developer.
Yeah.
And I wish we could figure out what that
bridge. Well, have you guys, sorry to interrupt, but have you guys played with Adobe, the generate, the asset, automated asset generator?
Yeah, I tried it. It was pretty good. It worked pretty good. I still think that there's something more like. The thing we're missing is like doing animations, and like we can do them like Neil's really good at animating and he uses After Effects to like illustrate an idea. But then like it's not as if like the developers can go into After Effects and use the animation that he created. They still have to basically recreate it. And that's what I wish we had, like, design it, then, like, give this, like, platform handoff that doesn't exist yet.
I wish someone would build a tool kind of like Paint Code where you could do an animation and grab a chunk of code and the engineer could implement it and then your animation awesome. Would be exactly the speed that you wanted. And, that'd be awesome. Yeah, because it's, awesome. You know, it's the person, like, I mean, really is true. If you're not doing development, you're handing your work off to someone hoping that they will implement it with your vision. Mm-hmm. And it's not
always... Were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say at the same time, kind of playing devil's advocate, like it also depends on the developer too. Like they would have to actually trust what
That's
you're giving them.
That's a very
them.
Good point.
You're like you can spend twice as long creating this code, but what's to say the developer is going to be like, well, this code sucks or you don't know what you're doing. I'm going to redo it anyway.
Right. And a lot of the time too, like code... kind of like the knowledge of code, especially with us, like we don't really code at all. That kind of almost kind of limits on what like on what the visual design could look like or the interaction design, right?
Yeah. I agree. I just think that there's some missing link out there that we're on a mission to find, like whatever it is.
And it could just be like a better communication tool between the designer and developer.
That's a good point.
You know.
Yeah. And I have something that just popped in my head that's related to this. You guys, it would be curious to see what you think. You know, tradition in our careers has always been like designers sort of create the concept, right? And then you figure out how to build it.
Right.
And I've been recently watching these videos about these videos of the Facebook team talking about how they created the Paper app. And they started...
I still haven't seen
in that. A completely they started with an interactive wireframe prototype. They built it to have the qualities that they wanted, like the size of objects, the speed, the animation styles, and they figured out how they wanted the experience of interacting with that app to be before they figured out what it looked like. So they gleaned the visual design direction from qualities of how the product was...
That's awesome.
How they wanted it to feel.
That is very different, but
that's why it's so nice.
That's why it's so cool.
That could be very useful.
So it seems like the first person that was providing conceptual input was driven by animation and things like
how
that.
Far
rather
you
than
push
color
yourself, effect. You don't think about the colors, but just the way that it works. I'm probably think outside the box easier.
Wireframes.
Well, I will say that paper is very boxy. Like the interface is like so many square, full bleed squares, like everywhere. So, I don't know. We're kind of out of time, guys. We didn't really touch on organization, but I mean, we'll save that for a different time. There's definitely a lot to talk about there. But...
Command G. Name all your files.
Well, one thing I'll say, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can maybe spend a minute. Like, my viewpoint is if you're working by yourself, it may not matter as much, but if you're working with a team, you should probably think about how it's going to be structured so that your team
I
can...
never, you know, organize. I didn't have a solid, like, one way of organizing my files until I started working with you guys. But really, like when I see a PSD that Anthony, you always know it's Anthony that worked on it because it's, like, annotated perfectly. Like, the flow, it'll be, like, designated as a flow in the file name with parentheses, and then it'll be, like, the layers will all be turned off except for one. It'll be, like, 1, 1.1, 1.2... You know, like, you know,
They're all color coded.
That's pretty cool. Fee's really good at layer organization as well.
I try to color label everything.
I like the color labels, but I don't know. I get really distracted in my designs, like, when I focus on organizing my layers, you know?
That's really interesting. I'm the opposite. You know, we started talking about flow and just... based on who I am, I'm unable to get into that flow until things are organized.
I am in Anthony's boat too.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. The most recent Photoshop document I made, I just had to forget about it. I had to forget about organization. And then at the end, I spent like probably 10 minutes organizing everything.
There's like a guilt inside of me if I know that I left like a bear of names. I just have to go back and name.
Well, you know,
design nightmares.
We're all busy people. You know, everyone's busy. You know, some can't always be perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably the end of our episode for today. Man, thank you guys so much for coming together today. And next episode, be probably May 30th. We have something on the books. It's something special. So hopefully it doesn't fall through. But yeah, so we're going to try and do the podcast a little bit more often and a little bit not quite as long. Even though today was actually kind of long. But, yeah.
Please subscribe on iTunes and support us.
Write it up. Oh,
please.
All right, thanks, guys. High five, yes. Everyone.
That was horrible.
Awkward.
That was awkward. A four-way high five does not work.
With two hands.
Love you.
Love you, bye.
Okay, bye.